My New Testament professor in seminary was Dr. Warren Carter. I love that man. I still do. He moved to another seminary, and so I didn't get to take another class with him, but he does do doctoral work, so I'm thinking about it. But he had this famous line: if it's repeated, it's probably important. If it's repeated, it's probably important. If it's repeated, it's probably important. I'm guessing Jesus has something to say. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, please. Care for the sick, visit those in prison. This Sunday is Christ the King Sunday, and it was established 98 years ago in 1925 by Pope Pius XI, who declared it a feast day. He said, "When we pay honor to the princely dignity of Christ, men will doubtless be reminded that the church, founded by Christ as a perfect society, has a natural and inalienable right to perfect freedom and to perfect freedom and immunity from the power of the state, and that in fulfilling the task committed to her by God of teaching, ruling, and guiding to eternal bliss those who belong to the kingdom of Christ, she cannot be subject to any external power." In other words, the church has a calling from God to act as leaders in showing the truth of God's love to the world. He used a lot of words, but that's what he said. The reason that he declared it a feast day is that 1925 was not long after the end of World War I, and what he noticed was a lot of blatant nationalistic tendencies. And this was his way of saying, excuse me, but the church is beyond that. Across the globe, we saw nations claiming that they were better than others. They were still having these problems. Even if the war was ended, the struggle was not. But the church had to say something. That was 98 years ago. Not much has changed, has it? People are still dying from thirst and hunger. There is still a severe lack of hospitality everywhere. Clothing is still scarce for so many people. Far too many people are sick and lonely. I know this in my job. I see it so often with patients whose families have given up and don't come and see them even towards the last days of life. People in prison are seen as unworthy. They don't get care and dignity because they're in prison. People claim that, well, that's what they deserve, so obviously it's fine. And yet, sometimes the best lessons come from children. As many of you know, I'm divorced, and my ex had a 3-year-old at the time that I met her. I met her on her 3rd birthday at her party. It was all about unicorns, so I was excited. But Tara was the sweetest, and for 3 years, she was my kid. And while she was in kindergarten, she had a classmate named Max that she struggled with, because Max had never been in school before, and he did not know how to do school well. And we had to constantly remind Tara that when she was in preschool, that was her first time in school, and she did not know how to do school well either. But she still struggled with Max, and finally, as the beautiful words can come from the mouth of babes, she said, "I'm really glad God loves Max, because I just don't know if I can." And I think that's true. There are times that we struggle, but it doesn't mean that we can't show God's love. So what do we do? What does All Saints do? Prison outreach? Asylum seekers welcome? Visiting those trapped at the border who are imprisoned by their circumstances just for trying to seek help? We do clothing drives, trying to get jackets and hats and coats and mittens and gloves to people who are freezing their butts off. Food donations for those who are hungry or just don't have enough to be able to support their families. Lutheran advocacy ministries, where we check in with the Congress and with our Senate and we say, hey, there's a problem, we need to work on it. Lutheran World Relief, where we send money and goods and quilts and everything that is needed to all parts of the world to let people know that they too are loved. Family promise. All these things that we do to let people know that they are cared about. Because churches like All Saints show the world that God's love is actually for all people. Go figure. Some people want to say that, oh, you didn't do that right, so it's just me. But we sit here and say that when we share with you, when we help you in those hard times, we're doing it because Jesus showed us first. A friend of mine passed away 3 years ago to COVID. We just had his anniversary of his death. But he taught me a lot about Christ the King, which is what today is. First of all, when I first met him, he told me this gorgeous story. They used to live up north, and when they first moved to Texas, he had to go and get new license plates, right? Register the car, do all the things. And they had been looking around at a couple of churches, and they had a few in mind, and there was one called Christ the King. And they were trying to figure out which one was best for their family. They had four little kids. They were trying to figure out what was best, you know? And he goes to the office to get his license plates, and he registers, he does all the thing, and they hand him his license plates, and they say, G02CTK. If that wasn't a sign from God, he knew it. Go to CTK, Christ the King. We got there. And it was just this most empowering story of the ways that we can find God in our everyday life when we forget that God is right there. So Ed, that was his name, also did what those little things that you don't think about that the church really needs to help care for the church, that's what he did. He called it his chair ministry. It was a large church that I worked with that had probably about 850 members, so a very large fellowship hall, an even larger family life center, a whole lot of things. And they had all of those foldable lifetime chairs that everybody is familiar with, the white ones with the black lines. Yeah, so he would put the little felt tips on the bottom of every single one of those chairs so that it would save the floors. And every week he would come in and inspect and see if there was a chair that was missing one of those felt tips. Every week. And then, on another day, he would come through and he'd go through all of the hymnals and the Bibles in the sanctuary, and if something was falling apart, I'd find him sitting there gluing things and fixing it. I was an intern at the time, so he wasn't as sneaky as he wanted to be, because I, you know, you're all over the church when you're an intern. So he taught me about caring for the smallest things that help us to not have to spend more money on an extra hymnal, or get more chairs, or redo the floors. It was those little things. But another thing that Ed was really involved in, and where I first got involved with him, is with Via de Cristo. Some of you may have heard of Walk to Emmaus, Via de Cristo, Curcio movements. These three-day weekends are empowering for lay leaders in the church to come and learn the best ways that they can serve their communities. And I got to go on one of those weekends, and then ever since then, I've been a spiritual director on several of them. And that's one of the ways I got connected with Ed, because his wife is one of my small group sisters. So it was really hard when we lost him, because he was family. But the ways that he got involved with Via de Cristo allowed him to also get involved with Kairos Prison Ministry. It's this group of men and women, but only the men can actually go into the prison for the whole time. There's a side fund that's also for women's ministry, don't get me wrong. The women would help make all of the meals, and dozens, hundreds of cookies would go in to help these guys understand that just because they were in prison did not mean they weren't loved by God. And every weekend there would be 40 brothers in white. They would all get these beautiful white pieces of clothing, and they would get to come and feel loved. People would come from all around that were involved in this ministry. They'd have 40 brothers in white and 40 crew members who were all there to show them, you are loved. People have been praying for you for this entire weekend. For 3 days, you are loved. Visit people in prison. Ed taught me a lot, and I miss him every day, but I hold that spirit in my heart when I try to find these little things that I can do to make life better for the places and the people that I care about. So on this Sunday, we learn and remember that Christ gave us knowledge of what the world needs to know God's love, right? He said, be like the sheep, not the goats, the sheep. Feed the hungry, Give drink to the thirsty. Welcome the strangers. Clothe the naked. Again, please. Care for the sick. And visit the imprisoned. Jesus came not just to teach us, but he showed us with his actions. He didn't just use words. He showed us. He came and he broke bread and he shared fish and he fed thousands. He gave the water of life at the well and wine at a banquet. May not be much to you, but it meant so much to that family. He happily sat with outcasts and with Samaritans. And then he healed the sick. And he visited those who were imprisoned, either physically in prison or mentally in prison because of the things that they have had to deal with that they don't feel that they are accepted in this world. Those were outcasts. And he sat with them. He ate dinner with them. He prayed with them. He walked with them. So if we follow examples of this Prince of Peace, then we bring peace to the world, even if it's one soul at a time. Each act that you do as an act of love touches somebody. So we shepherd the sheep in love and peace, one act at a time, just as Jesus taught us. Because after all, the goats will be mad. Because unlike the sheep, they were bad. Sorry. But in the name of a God who loves us enough to show us the way of truth and light, not just to tell us, but to show us exactly what we need to do in this life, showing that light into this world, that's a God who deserves all glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Amen.